The Old Testament reading comes from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there was very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied. There was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore, prophesy, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson comes from Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemns sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, though his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this he said to his disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. And after saying these things, he said to them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. But many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell on his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him? But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson from John, and I titled this sermon, Dead Man Walking. It comes from when somebody's on death row, that last final walk, they call it a dead man walking. Well, the text for today from John is the reverse of it. Not a man going to his execution from death to life. Life to death. Instead, the message from John is going from death to life. I knew I could get it straight if I just worked at it. You've heard the expression, there's nothing as certain as death and taxes. Well, that's true from a human standpoint, but not from God's standpoint. Even death is not a certainty. Did you ever face an impossible obstacle? Something you were sure you could not get past? I think Mary and Martha felt that when Lazarus got sick and they sent word for Jesus to come immediately. I think they had it in their mind that from their perspective, this was not going to end well. And Jesus did not arrive on time according to Mary and Martha. One of the lessons from our text is to trust God's timing. Do we ever question God's timing of events? Like, you ever question why the virus struck when it did? You ever question why haven't we found the cure yet? You ever question events in life, just in life in general? What about God's timing on this one? Needless to say, Mary and Martha appear to be very frustrated with Jesus' timing, because both of them say to Jesus, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. They kind of play that game when a tragedy happens, the coulda, woulda, shoulda game. I could have done this, I would have done this, I might have done this. And then the result would have been different. They're replaying the events, hoping to come up with a different result, but in the end, blaming God for it. Now, let's do the math here. A message is sent to Jesus that Lazarus is quite ill and he's to come immediately. Well, in Jewish tradition, you're buried the same day you die. You have to be in the ground within 24 hours. Jesus waits another 2 days. So if you figure out the time frame when Jesus got the message, Lazarus was already dead. And Jesus says that to his disciples, finally, bluntly, Lazarus is dead. You know, maybe I had too much fun reading the gospel lesson, but I imagine he just looked down. He's dead, okay? Got it? All right. Now, being dead 4 days is a long time. Two other times Jesus had brought people back from the dead. One was the funeral procession. He stops the funeral procession and then tells the widow's son to get up. The second time he raises somebody from the dead is the official's daughter, but she has just died and is still laying on her bed. They haven't even moved the body. This time with Lazarus, now it's 4 days later. See, the Jews had a belief that when you died, your spirit stayed in the area for up to 3 days. On the fourth day, it was then released to go to its eternal dwelling. But for 3 days, the spirit was still around. So it's significant that Jesus waited 4 days for two reasons. One, they said the spirit's gone. No way can this person come back to life. But it's also significant because 4 days in this hot weather, do you know what that body smelled like? Yeah, it smells like an athlete's foot. I won't pick on my daughter when she's not here. Anyway, so Lazarus is really, 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 really dead. You're supposed to say, really? There you go. We'll try it again. Lazarus is really, 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 really dead.
Really?
Yes, he is. But Jesus uses this to prove that he is the resurrection and the life. The second lesson here is to trust God's heart. God gets the timing right, but we also see God's heart here. Everything he does for us is out of his love for us. And we see his heart through his very human emotions at this event. So why did Jesus get so emotional when he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead? When it says Jesus wept, that's that hard cry. Not just a few tears trickling down the face. This is that hard, hard cry. By the way, that passage from John 11, Jesus wept, is the shortest verse in the Bible, but the one that has the biggest impact. Why did Jesus weep? Well, he never intended death to be part of what life is. We falsely say that death is just part of life. No, it's not according to God's plan. It was never supposed to be that way. We were never created to suffer loss. But God grieves with us when we grieve. And Martha gives an amazing confession of faith there in John 11. And then afterwards, she goes to find Mary. And notice it says, did so privately because the Jews had previously tried to stone Jesus. So she goes to privately to tell Mary that Jesus has arrived and that Jesus wants to see her. And I love bold Mary. Instead of waiting a while, you know, a few minutes, an hour or so, and then go, so it's not a big deal. Martha comes in and says, Jesus wants to see you. Boom, she's out of there. And notice the crowd goes with them. Could say something about sometimes discretion. We don't always need to know what's going on. But Mary sort of made it quite plain that she was going to that tomb right away. Mary, too, is grieving, that deep grieving and weeping, that deep, deep crying. And notice what the text says. Jesus was deeply moved. That's not move as in like compassion move. The term actually means agitated or angered. When Jesus sees the crowd gathered at the tomb, he's irked. Now, why would he get irked at this? Maybe it was the spectacle. Maybe some people were just there to, quote, show their support, but didn't really care. Maybe that was part of it. But I think he was angered at what sin had already done here. Sin destroys life. What is one thing that is completely contrary to God's holy nature is sin. What's the one thing that's going to anger him quicker than anything else is sin. Sin is his enemy. Sin causes sorrow and pain. And Jesus sees all of this there, the effects of what sin has done. All of it's a result of the sin. Lazarus' death is a result of sin. Sin is God's enemy of his original plan, because I said death was not meant to be part of life. And death's only a temporary victory here. Death thinks it's won, but it hasn't. And you can't really blame Mary for not thinking too clearly in this point. So I always tell people at funerals, because this is a common funeral text, don't ever take anything seriously that somebody says at a funeral. Because people are trying to say something to sound well, but it comes across pretty lame. So I always say, whatever you hear, don't take it seriously if it irritates you. If you find it comforting, great. By the way, the reason goes out of town. Cemeteries at this time were always had to be out of town. Well, since we're not having dinner, I'll tell you why. We embalm and put in a casket or cremate. What they did is they put the body wrapped in cloths, laid it on a stone slab, then let the elements take care of the body. So it rotted above ground, generally speaking. Now, sometimes they would use a cave, but the smell, you wouldn't want this in town. Like they would never have a cemetery like we have. Where is it in comparison to where we have? That way? Do you see why I need a GPS? Because I thought it was that way. Anyway, that's why they had to go on. That's just a cultural fact part of this text. Now, why had some gone with Mary? I think some were legitimately concerned about her. Some went to weep as well. But some probably just went for the drama. Is it any different than people, why do people watch NASCAR? The crashes! Yes, you watch for the skill of the drivers, but there are some people who turn it on for one reason. All right? I'm willing to bet that if I did a YouTube search of NASCAR crashes versus how many people viewed the finishes, I'm willing to bet I know which one gets more views. Just my thought. So I think some of them were there just to see if Mary would create quite a scene at the tomb. And Mary again repeats the same words that Martha said, "If you had been here, my brother would still be alive." This text is an emotional text because you can feel the raw emotions of the people involved. Mary falls at Jesus' feet. She's so overwhelmed by what's happened, she really has no other choice, or it's really out of her control. She falls at his feet. You know, when we grieve, God grieves. When we cry, God cries. And I said trust his timing and trust his heart, but I would also say trust his might. The resurrection demonstrates that. I mentioned that the two previous times Jesus had raised somebody from the dead, it was immediately after they died. Lazarus was 4 days. He commands him to come out of the tomb. Commands him in a loud voice, "Lazarus comes out." What a miracle at this point. The spirit, which has gone from the body, has returned. 4 days with all the decomposition, the cells have begun to decay. They reverse their process. Dead flesh becomes alive again. And the dead man walks. He comes out of the tomb. Jesus demonstrates the power of God in this event. Now, if you look at the other times in the Bible where there's a resurrection, Elijah does it. He always prays first and ask God to do it. Jesus commanded Lazarus, basically, "On my own power, I say to you, Lazarus, get out of the tomb." Jesus' enemies took note of this. It says in the Bible that immediately after this, they plotted to kill him and kill Lazarus because they couldn't have this demonstration of power. Excuse me. But Lazarus' story foreshadows Jesus' story. Jesus is arrested, crucified, and died. Lazarus is going to die again. Now, I've always been kind of curious on this. He's been dead 4 days. Where was he? Did you ever think about that? Where was he? Was he in heaven? Man, he would call back from heaven back to earth. But at least one thing Lazarus would know. When I die a second time, I know exactly where I'm going to. When Jesus dies and at his resurrection, he will never die again. Never to age again, never to decay, and he'll last forever. And he promises, Jesus promises, that he will come back and do that for all believers. That there will be a great miracle, that our body will rejoin our body once again, but then everything is perfect. And the quote you, Dad, you said, "So when I get to heaven, I'll have better knees." Yes. Everything will be perfect. So trust God's timing. Trust his heart. Trust his might. And you know, if God can take care of the big things, like the biggest thing, death, can he take care of the little things in our lives every day? So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.